The following is a presentation of the Town of North Hempstead's Project Independence and WCWP. Welcome to Project Independence and You.
Welcome back to Senior Talk Radio here at 88.1 FM, WCWP.org. This is Project Independence and You. I'm your host, John Ryan. My co-host today is Ann Hirsch.
Still here.
Absolutely. And actually, we had a very interesting talk this morning with both Nancy Mullins and Dr. Sonia Balani. And I think the point to come across with the morning is everything should be talked about, everything can be talked about. And call your doctor, call 311 if you have a question about something. And I always tell people, when you go to the senior centers, that's the purpose of a community. You're sitting at the table. You know, you're not the only person experiencing anything in this world. Ask a question. Right now we have Jerry Barish with us, and Jerry is the executive director of, and president actually, of One in Nine, which is a breast cancer organization. Good morning, Jerry.
Good morning.
One in Nine has been around for years. It's the Long Island Breast Cancer Action Coalition.
Correct.
And how did this come about?
Well, in the late 80s, a study was done from Stony Brook and the Department of Health on the statistics of breast cancer, and it kind of came out that Long Island had the highest incidence in the world. And a group of women got together and said, wait a minute, are you kidding me? The risk factors were if you were white, if you were Jewish, if you lived in Long Island, if you, were affluent, you'd have breast cancer. And we decided that that was unacceptable, that we wanted that changed. We wanted a study to be done on Long Island. A lot of us felt it was the water, environmental. And we also had a lot of school teachers that didn't really talk about it, but we found that they had one of the highest incidents of breast cancer.
Wow, that's interesting.
Yeah. So, go ahead.
Jerry, does this have any personal kind of reference as far as, have you had any experience personally with this?
I'm a three-time breast cancer survivor and actually a five-time cancer survivor.
Wow.
Yeah. And I really got involved, not because of the breast cancer, but my mom passed away from breast cancer, but my son was diagnosed with cancer. And I wanted to find out just why he got cancer. And it probably was the perfect timing because no one was talking about children in those days. And I started doing a lot of research. And that was in 1974. And, found out so many things that by the time the 80s came around and breast cancer kind of was spoken about, there were too many correlations that just weren't out there. We knew nothing about our history. Nobody talked about genetics because we didn't know about genetics. We didn't have a seat at the scientific table. I mean, I can understand, but I think we had so much information to give and the thirst of what was really going on here. And so we decided to hold a rally in Mineola and on the court steps just to see how many people would come that had breast cancer that, we could kind of see what's going on in Long Island. The shock was that 380 people showed up.
Wow.
And women were holding their wigs on the end of broomsticks. And there was people who had never even told their children that they had breast cancer. There was a woman that was in her late 70s who had four daughters who was still stuffing her bra with nylon stockings and newspapers. We realized we had a situation that we really had to find out what was going on.
But it's not a situation that's talked about. My wife had a double mastectomy about 7 years ago, 7 or 8 years ago, and her mother actually had one 2 years ago. So it's funny, it was the reverse there. Usually,
yeah.
But the point was, when my wife was diagnosed, and you start talking to a few people prior to her surgery, etc., honestly, the people who had then revealed, oh, guess what? I had a single mastectomy. I had a double mastectomy. You want to see my new breast? And it was unbelievable. And they were a member of the club at that point.
You said it. at the club.
Prior to it, you saw them on the street. Yep. You didn't think anything. And here,
no.
Once they know there's a new person coming into the group, so to speak, and got in.
Jerry, did you find in your research that there were specific environmental things on Long Island that is manifesting numbers of this nature?
You know, one of the scary things, Ann.
Yeah.
When you see what's happening now, I mean, we had gotten the Long Island Breast Cancer Study Project. We wanted an in-depth environmental study. We wanted to know about what we were sitting on, what we were walking on. It was very easy to say if you had money and you were white and Jewish. I mean, that was not the answer. If that was the answer, Miami Beach would be underwater. There'd be no people, you know?
Yeah.
So we said, no, there's something wrong here. And when we started looking, I mean, you look at the Grumman site right now. I mean, way back then, there were studies. There was a geographic system that we fought for that was overlaid over so many things. The answers were up there. And it just was frustrating because when the studies started, we always felt it was the water. Now, you can't really say 100%. So we needed to have some evidence. When these studies started, as they got closer to Long Island, the cancer rate started going up. When they got to Old Westbury, where the watershed is, it's protected, there was like no cancer. So you really had to start looking at different things and not feeling that we were totally crazy. You know, and it just took so long to get the study, and it was a good study because it did prove that we felt that there was a lot of environmental factors. Look, a lot of us are predisposed. That doesn't mean that we're going to come down with the disease. We didn't know anything about genetics in the day. And even if you were genetically disposed, that doesn't mean that you're going to come down with cancer. It's a screening situation. But it was a whole learning curve. And the pesticides, for instance, so many of us that did research and talked to other people, you know, we immediately thought it was the farms. And when we got involved with the Farm Bureau, when we started to talk about a registry, I remember talking to Joe Gradiola there, and he said to me, he said, Jerry, I have to tell you, more people die from farm accidents than anything else. So there was a lot of learning to do. What was happening to all of the chemicals that they used in Long Island and, you know, the Levitt homes, what they were built on? I mean, when we did research, we found that some of the chemicals that were being used in a smaller dose now, they were used in Auschwitz, in the death camps.
Wow. No, I'll go along with a lot of that. And it's unfortunate the way we're just a little island. I mean, it's a big island, but
exactly.
At the end of the day, everything you're putting into the lawn, everything you're putting into the sewers, everything you're throwing down the toilet, pills, etc., it's just going into the water system.
Right.
Jerry, if I understand you correctly, were you finding that this was spotty as far as certain areas had higher incidence than other areas?
Yes, because we didn't know about all the areas. Like, we found around transformers, there was a higher incidence of brain cancer and childhood cancer. We found, you know, hormonal cancers around those areas. We found that people who lived near gas stations or over gas stations, there was a higher incidence. We started looking at areas of cul-de-sacs, and there was a higher incidence of cancer. You know, where would the water go? It just ended in that circle someplace. So there was a lot of investigation that needed to be done and that we started questioning. And I think as time went by, we did get seats at the table, and, you know, we didn't want people to be losing jobs and things like that. But the fact of the matter is that when we started talking about this, we started getting phone calls from people as far away as Israel and France and all over. A gentleman called us, and he said, you know, I just want to say that we were involved in the building of the Polaris missile. Now, that was done out in, I think, an Islip. And he said at that time, he said, there were big holes in the ground that this stuff was spewing out of, and it was spewing into the Great South Bay. And he said, when we started to talk about this, he said, all of a sudden the holes were closed up, and we had this brief, and disappeared. I mean, there were so many questions. We got a phone call from a gentleman who was driving flux up to Long Island from California. And, you know, flux is used motor oil and all of that stuff. And he said, you know, I can't tell you, out of seven drivers, so far I'm the only one alive.
Wow.
There were so many things. I'm like, my skin is crawling right now remembering all of this. And, you know, I'm talking about the early 90s.
Right.
Late 80s. So we've come a long way. We know a lot more. I think there are still areas that really need to be looked into. You know, we've come a long way with going to a store. You don't see pesticides being sold next to bread. You know, we've done that. People are so educated now. They're very much aware. And that's one of the things that we as an organization, while we raised a lot of money for research at Cold Spring Harbor, I said, there's something missing here. You know, we walk and we talk and we do all these things, but there's still something missing. And what I felt was missing was the direct contact to people, hearing their stories, not in a hospital situation, in a home environment or one-on-one. You know, people need to be educated on their histories. Your history is so, so important.
Right. Actually, I'm going to interrupt you. We're going to take a break, and then when we come back, we'll talk about the various support groups, et cetera, that you guys have there. So you're listening to Senior Talk Radio here on 88.1 FM, WCWP.org. We'll be right back.